This is a KUNV Studios original program.
You're listening to special programming sponsored by Making Moves Life Coaching Services. The content of this program does not reflect the views or opinions of 91.5 Jazz and More, the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, or the Board of Regents of the Nevada System of Higher Education.
Good morning, Las Vegas. This is Veterans Affairs Plus on 91.5 Jazz and More. Happy to be before you this morning, and we're going to get into a few things, but certainly want to, as always, encourage folks to get a hold of our service officer, and that is, of course, Mr. Tony Marshall. Tony's doing a great job, and I mentioned to you guys that he has an office now out at the Veterans Community Resource Center out in North Las Vegas. So I know he takes appointments out there as well. But the key thing is, again, you can't just walk in because Tony is a very busy person. And he wants you to always make contact and set up an appointment. And Tony's number, once again, is 301-537-9465. Tony Marshall, service officer. He can help those out there who need assistance with trying to get their veterans benefits together. Just a great guy. We appreciate Tony very much. In fact, it's about the time that we need to get him back on the show to give an update on where he is. In fact, I know he was working on getting a certification. He's not certified currently, but you know, sometimes certifications, they do have their place. Not sometimes, they do have their place. But also it's about the talent and the skill and getting the work done versus just having a piece of paper. And Tony has been doing a yeoman's job. I know a number of people that he's helped in the community. Tony Marshall, service officer for Veterans Benefits. And again, we have birthdays, and I mentioned these last week, and I'll mention them again. Just passed is my birthday, Dave Washington, of course. We have Ernest Fountain this month, Mike Cooper, George Turner. And I know I missed a number of other folks that have birthdays at this time, but I just wanted to reiterate those because these are all close friends and worth acknowledging their names for the work that they've done in the community. And God has allowed us all to get up to that 7+0 number. Our first guest, which we will have on today, is Mr. Tim Haskins. And Tim is a branch manager. He's with Premier Mortgage Resources. So he was referred to me by my daughter, April. And she referred him because he's a veteran, as well as he's done a number of things in his particular business to assist veterans. So we will hear from him in just a few moments, and we'll get his background as well as tell us about some of the different programs and projects that they actually have for veterans. So once again, this is Veterans Affairs Plus on 91.5 Jazz and More. I'm Dave Washington, your host. So we'll talk with you on the other side. Once again, this is Veterans Affairs Plus on 91.5 Jazz and More. I'm Dave Washington, your host. I gave a pre-introduction of our next guest, Mr. Tim Haskins. He is a branch manager with Premier Mortgage and Resources. Brother Tim, please tell me, what branch of the military did you serve in?
Well, actually, I did not serve in the military.
Oh, you did not?
I had couple of uncles that served in the Army, mm-hmm. but I did not serve in the military. Didn't have the privilege of doing that, but I do want to thank all the veterans out there that did serve. Thank you for your service.
Oh, that's my misunderstanding. I thought April told me, who gave me your name and number, that you were a military vet. But neither here nor there, tell me, where are you from, Tim, and how long you been in Las Vegas?
I was born in Los Angeles, California.
Mm-hmm.
Been in Las Vegas since 2016.
So what brought you here?
I came to Las Vegas for better quality of living. You know, Southern California is quite expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So we brought the family here for better quality of living.
Okay. All right. So what's a favorite pastime of Tim?
Favorite pastime, which is great, is I'm a Raiders football fan. So, you know, growing up in Los Angeles with the Raiders being in L.A.,
mm-hmm.
I've been a longtime fan, and the Raiders happened to move to Las Vegas. So win-win for me.
So you're a big-time Raider fan, huh?
I am, yes.
Cool. So, Tim, when we did talk briefly, you told me you had a number of programs in which is you guys do a lot of service to veterans, if you will. So why don't you tell our listening audience, because, again, this is a Veterans Affairs show, and we have a lot of vets out there that do listen to the program. And as we continue to grow our audience, one of my main interests is trying to get people on the show to tell stories about themselves as vets, to include others who come on that may have some programs that they try and get done to ensure that veterans get taken care of, because sometimes I believe that we forget about them and the work that they've done. So with that, please give our listening audience an indication of some of the things that you do.
Absolutely. Yeah, again, my name is Tim Haskins, also known as the Home Loan Coach. I have been doing loans for 20 years. And I am the branch manager of Premier Mortgage Resources here in Las Vegas, Nevada. I do loans in 49 states, every state except for the state of New York. So I can help your listening audience here in Las Vegas, Nevada, and across the country. It's my pleasure to assist veterans and veterans' families in the goal of home ownership. In my opinion, the VA loan is the best loan on the market. It's zero down. There's no mortgage insurance on that loan, and they have the best rates out there, which, you know, I believe they still for the service that they have given our country.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so first off, zero down, no mortgage insurance, and lower rates gives this loan, it's a more preferable loan there for homeowners looking to purchase. There are other programs if you have friends and family that don't happen to have VA eligibility. There's down payment assistance programs that we can help out with to get you a zero down payment. And it allows you to purchase up to 4 units. Hmm. So if you're a veteran looking to purchase a 2, 3, or 4 unit where you can live in one and collect rent off the other units, that's a powerful way to purchase property and get cash flow all at the same time.
Hmm.
That program allows that. Another feature of the program is it's unlimited now. So if you find yourselves in parts of the country where home prices are higher, there's no limit on the purchasing power of a VA loan. So that's, you know, the information and background on the VA loan. So, Dave, did you have any questions on that so far?
Well, anything that you think may be of interest to our veterans out there, but one thing I'd like to know, and I haven't been asked this before by folks, how long does those benefits in terms of purchasing a dwelling last for veterans? Say, for example, there are many who are the Vietnam era and have not used their, or either use it, paid out whatever they owed for a particular property, and they're giving consideration to doing something again. Is that a possibility?
Yes, absolutely. So when you get your VA eligibility, there is an eligibility amount.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I have, right here in Las Vegas, Nevada, helped a veteran buy a second property using VA full entitlement with zero down. I did have a veteran in California that did a VA loan and wanted to purchase another home and didn't have enough VA entitlement. Mm-hmm. So first step would be when you come to me, I would, you know, go to the VA portal that we go to and mm-hmm. check with the Veterans Administration and find out how much eligibility is left. Mm-hmm. There is no time frame. Once you have that VA entitlement, it doesn't go away. It's there for life. And you can also, a surviving spouse can use it as well. So if you predecease your spouse, we can still put your spouse in a VA loan.
Okay, so that sparks another question then. You said amount of eligibility. Explain how does that work, and please, because I'm at a little bit of loss. I don't understand the terminology. When you say what's left, that tells me that when you use it, there's a certain amount that goes away. That's just being very, very a simple answer to it from my perspective.
Yes, yes, absolutely. So on first-time use, or if you have, if you don't have a VA loan out mm-hmm. at all right mm-hmm. now, you may have used it 20 years ago and you sold the home and you want to buy a house, it's unlimited. So you want to buy $1 million property, you can buy $1 million property utilizing VA financing. Now, say you you buy a $1 million property and, you know, you get up in age and you say, hey, look, I don't want to maintain this $1 million house anymore, you know, but I can cash flow it. I want to rent it out mm-hmm. and I want to buy another home, a smaller home, utilizing VA financing. Mm. So myself as the lender, we're going to go to the Veterans Administration and find out, does this veteran have additional VA entitlement that we can buy another house? Mm-hmm. And they'll come back and say, and it's, there's no, you know, well, there is a rhyme or reason to the calculation, but VA has that. I don't know what that is. That's why we go to them and ask them. And they may say, yeah, he has 300,000 more of VA entitlement left.
Okay.
Okay, great. Well, we can go buy a house for 300,000. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they may say he has no more entitlement left. So in that instance, we would employ a strategy of refinancing the house out of VA loan,
right?
Maybe into conventional financing, free up your VA entitlement, and then you can go buy another property you with full entitlement.
Excellent. All right, Tim, as we close out, give us some closing remarks. Anything you'd like to say to include where you're located, how folks can contact you?
Yes. I'd like to say it does matter who you work with as a lender. As I stated, I've been doing this for 20 years, lots of experience, and I'd like to share a story before I give my contact information. I had a veteran down in the San Diego area that went through another lender to purchase a house, and he had moved out of his current living quarters with his wife and family, and was in temporary living quarters that put up a $25,000 good faith deposit. Mm-hmm. And I got the phone call that the lender didn't qualify him for the loan. So I picked up the file and looked at it and said, yes, I can qualify you. So I turned that veteran around from losing $25,000 earnest money deposit and, you know, moving, being in, you know, basically homeless, mm-hmm. in temporary housing,
great.
To getting him into his $1 million home. So mm-hmm. it does matter who you work with. I can be reached direct on my cell phone at 661-992-7005. That's 661-992-7005. Or you can go to Tim, the homeloancoach.com to book a time to meet with me on Zoom.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Tim.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, for sure. Thank you, Mr. Tim Haskins, for coming on the show. And I think you added some valuable thought out there to our veterans who may be seeking, because I've always thought that once you've used it, that's it. But you're saying if you're outside of that loan, you've paid it off or whatever, you still, you have new eligibility. So thank you so much for that. And I trust that we'll get you back on the show sometime in the future after we hear about some of the successes you've had with some of the folks who are listening to this program. Once again, this is Veterans Affairs Plus on 91.5 Jazz and More. And we just heard from him, Mr. Tim Haskins. Thanks, Tim. Good morning once again. This is Veterans Affairs Plus on 91.5 Jazz and More. And just as I promised, Las Vegas, we have Mr. Frank Hawkins. He'll be with us shortly. I just want to say that we'll be quizzing him about what's going on, one, with the consumption lounges, and two, he's got a number of construction projects that I think he should enlighten our community on. Mr. Frank Hawkins, how you doing, Hawk?
I'm wonderful, Chief. How are you?
Hey, man, feeling better. I'm feeling excited because I know you got a lot to share. So, please tell us what's going on, Frank, with the I know that there's one of the first consumption lounge just opened up recently. So how are things going to include? Do you have any insight on what's happening with the quote unquote, what do they call it, social equity licenses?
Sure. Okay.
All right.
So let me start out by saying that we have had a consumption lounge on the Indian reservation property at Las Vegas Boulevard between Washington and mm-hmm. Owens for about longer than 2 years now.
Oh, really?
So yeah, so because they don't have to follow the same regulation, legislation-wise, they've had their lounge. In fact, about 5-6 months ago, they opened a new building.
Yeah, I saw that building. It's huge.
Yeah, at the corner there of Washington and Las Vegas Boulevard. But the consumption lounge you're speaking of is the one that Thrive just opened, and I think they did some good marketing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They had the time at 4:20. They have one of the commissioners who's really been a leader in the industry and fighting for legalization of medical and then recreational marijuana mm-hmm. in Las Vegas, Tick Sagerblom. They even showed him firing up one. So
I saw that.
That's been a long time coming for so many people.
Right.
We talk about President Biden on a federal level, allowing prisoners to be released for those marijuana convictions.
Mm-hmm.
But we still face that challenge in Nevada, where that has not been the case on the state level.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one issue that the advocates continue to fight for. Another interesting thing happened on January 1 is that the marijuana limit for what dispensaries can sell increased. Mm. So before we could only sell 1 ounce, which was 28 grams. Now we can sell 2.5 times that.
Mm.
So customers can buy more weed or marijuana infused products if their appetite leads them in, you know, that direction.
Uh-huh. So what was the impetus behind allowing it to be more that you can sell? Do you know?
Well, what I say it is, is the state would make the marijuana market is down. Everything we know is up.
Uh-huh.
Gas is up. Food is up. Fast food is up. Eggs are up. Rent is up.
Mm.
But marijuana price is down. And the state makes its money off a large percentage of that pot comes from the sale of marijuana. So with prices down, the state, my belief, is the state could make the same amount of money by allowing 2.5 ounces to be sold as opposed to allowing 1 ounce max to be sold at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure they want to keep their coffers replenished and or plenished, unlike most of us out there, because the market is down. So that means we're selling more weed for less price.
Mm-hmm.
So the guys that don't have the deep pockets are probably going to have some problems.
Right, right. Interesting. Okay. All right. Go to your next thought. I just had to get that in because I'm like, why? But she like hit me between my eyes with a 2x4. Yeah, it's about the money, man. What are you talking about?
Always. Capitalism, always about the money.
So let me ask you this.
And our governments ain't no different. Go ahead.
Is there any statistics that have been kept in terms of DUI, et cetera, centered around those who may be high in driving after they have consumed marijuana? Is there any stats along those lines yet? Because me and my wife, Marsha, we continue to debate about that. And I told her the ones you find out there running over people is people who are drunk versus people who are smoking marijuana. And that's just
marijuana people. Sure. You know, we like to say they'll be going about 15 miles an hour. So they're just going to bump them and bruise them. Unlike, you know, folks who might be under the influence of, alcohol or something like that, who may be going in excess of the speed limit.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there are stats out there that are public that can tell you, you know, how often. One of the big things that we fought early on in the 14, 15, 16, even in 17,
mm-hmm.
was people being pulled over, and because the officer could smell weed, they would test them. But, you know, typically, you can't say I'm high because of what you smell.
Right.
But it's still a substance. So they would drive it under the influence.
Mm-hmm.
Now, most people take that to mean or believe under the influence of alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
But officers can, you could be over the limit in marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
Other drugs, alcohol. So driving while intoxicated and or being arrested for being over the influence, then, you, as most people know, if they, you know, are familiar with marijuana and or alcoholism or people drinking,
mm-hmm.
is that when you go to jail, the first thing they do is take a blood test.
Right.
And they have a time limit to do that. But, yeah, they want to test that blood so they can either prove, yes, that you were over the limit, legal limit, or no, you weren't, and then apologize and send you on your way.
So they do have a limit as far as whatever level of THC or whatever it is within your system, they can determine that through the blood.
Well, they can do that in the street.
Mm-hmm.
And herein lies the problem.
Mm.
So it's sort of the judgment of the officer. But to my knowledge, and I don't remember off the top of my head any bill
mm-hmm.
that changed, what they could or couldn't do mm-hmm. because they smell alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, marijuana.
Right.
Most folks that have the bag that when they purchase, they keep a receipt. They have a childproof bag. Or a zip seal bag that most people are putting in their trunk, which I would recommend,
right.
as opposed to leaving anything, if you are a smoker, out in the open to be seen by the naked eye.
Mm-hmm.
You're only inviting trouble.
Right, right. Okay. All right, give me some closing remarks on that, because I want to swing into a discussion in the last 4.5 minutes that we have on some of the construction projects that you have in the hopper.
Yeah, I would just say to folks, if you indulge the consumption lodges, we have two open now. You talked about the independent and the social equity.
Right.
The unfortunate part about social equity is that they are, to my knowledge, none have opened, none have been approved in a location because they don't have the financial wherewithal. They don't have the legal counsel, and they don't have the business experience. So it's hard to come from a position where you don't have support and compete in this business. I think the state and those folks who created the consumption lounges, I'm going to put some pressure on them and say that based on what they and how they approved it,
mm-hmm.
I don't believe that it was fair, because there's no way that folks without money and mm-hmm. without experience mm-hmm. and without counsel are going to have a chance to open successfully
right.
A consumption lounge. And in addition, it's single serving.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. they can't, it's not like the people can take the weed with them because they cannot.
Right.
And they are going to be under 280E.
Mm.
And for those that don't know what 280E is, it's phantom income. It's income you have to pay the federal government on, but you don't actually make the money to put in your pocket.
Mm.
So, again, that's another challenge for folks who don't have the experience, haven't been in the business or any business.
Yeah. Well, I know as a layman, I mentioned that to you. I said, man, this thing is set up to fail. And you said, you're right. And again, I'm a layman at it. But let me say this, Frank, I'd like to swing. We got about 3.5 minutes left. I want you to talk briefly, okay. if you would, about some of the construction projects, because, you know, with the shortage of housing, I think what you're doing is so important.
Well, my mission and my purpose for the rest of my life is to help make the world a better place. And I'm doing that by continuing to build, like I have over the past 20 plus years, affordable housing in Las Vegas, Clark County, North Las Vegas. We have two projects that one is actually under construction. That's going to be 40 units for one and two bedrooms
mm-hmm.
for families and or seniors. And then we have a second project that is going to be out off of North Fifth and out by Nellis Air Force Base, where we're building another 48 units that is one and two bedroom units. And I can share this with you, we haven't signed the contract, but mm-hmm. our company was selected to rebuild the homes for Windsor Park, 93 homes there. So we are grateful and blessed and excited to be able to do what no one else has been able to do and help these remaining 93 people
right.
Find new shelter, new homes, build a quality product
mm-hmm.
that the whole state can be proud of.
Well, you tell Cheryl, you know, as the chairman of your housing board, I sure wish there was some pay that came along with this position that I hold. You buy me lunch. Hey, Frank, now you're doing outstanding work, man, and continued success to you. And we'll get you back on because I think you got two very important things. And I know you're always been a student, particularly of the industries that you work in. So we wish you continued success, my friend.
I appreciate you, Chief.
All right, for sure. This is Veterans all Affairs right. Plus on 91.5 Jazz and More. We just had Mr. Frank Hawkins. I encourage you guys to check him out, as well as particularly the housing that he's putting together. And they work on scale. You know, if you don't make a lot of money, that doesn't mean you can't get in. You don't have to pay that $1,500 rent. With that, thank you, Wes, for your time and effort, and keep me on track, my brother.